Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
And welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Truss, Billboard's co-director of charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, chart manager here at Billboard.
In New York. So we're going to do something a little bit different this week. We've got a rap roundtable, and we've already recorded it. It's really good. It's really long. So I think we should just pretty much, for the most part,
To be fair, I guess if people are seeing the runtime, we've probably done like 5 episodes longer than this. But we don't want to leave you guys shake up the formula too much, because I know some people out there are wondering what does this mean? What's going on? So I guess we can run through the usual top 10 at least. Get people. I mean, some people every week. Maybe this is how they find it out. So top 10 on the Hot 100. 2 new songs in the top 10 this week. So if you've been paying attention, you'll hear some fresh sounds out there from some artists. One artist who's been in the top 10 twice already this year, and another artist that I know a lot of people have been waiting for that first solo record to really strike. And this week, you'll hear it for the first time in this top 10 countdown. So without further ado, here we go. As usual, the top 10 songs on the Billboard Hot 100. Take a listen.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Number 10.
You said you looked a mess. I whispered underneath my breath, but you heard it, darling, you.
Number 9.
No way that you'll see me cry. I'm way too good at goodbye.
Number 8.
Number 7.
Number 6.
Like I know that I would. Baby, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Baby, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Feeling in fire because the tables have turned.
Number 5.
Feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder. Feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder.
Number 4. Number 3.
It could be so hard, but you gotta live right now. You got everything to give right now. I've been on a low, I've been taking my time. I feel like
number
I'm
2.
I get the money and go. This shit is hot like a stove. My pussy glitter is gold. Tell that little bitch play her role. I just a rover, no rolls. I just came up in a rave. I need to fill up the tank. No, I need to fill up the safe. I need to let all these hoes.
And number 1.
All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rasta. Fucking with me, call up on the Uzi and show up, man, them the shot toss.
And good news if you're a Post Malone fan. There he is, safe and secure, third week at number one on the Hot 100 with Rockstar, which is features 21 Savage. Song doing still well, you know, in streams, still the top streaming song of the week. Growing at radio, still a pretty new song to the format, so some room to increase there. It's the top 20 on radio songs for the first time. And with numbers 2 and 3, you heard there, still the same as last week. Bodak Yellow, number 2, Logic's 1-800-273-8255. At number 3, you know, with not a lot of movement in the top tier, it seems like Post Malone could be in for a pretty steady ride of the while. There's not quite a song that's bumping up so quickly, so fast, that I think it seems like a lock for the next number 1. Though, of course, we do have 2 new songs in the top 10 this week, Gary.
Yeah, I was just going to say about number 1. We've been looking each week at the difference between number 1 and number 2. It's another week where Rockstar pads its lead. So it's down, actually, 1% in overall activity. But Cardi B is down 8%.
Sometimes it's not, you know, how big you get. It's how slow you can fall.
Right. You mentioned Radio Building actually goes number 1 Rockstar on the Rhythmic Songs chart this week. So Radio is really kicking in for this song. It's one of the faster number 1s on that chart as well. It's jumped over Cardi B on the Pop Songs chart. So song is beginning to pick up in radio, where the streaming and sales are kind of starting to level off. Radio's now jumping and helping it keep it number 1.
And just again, I mean, what a crazy, crazy kind of story this is in the fourth quarter coming out here. We see another song from his back catalog start to get some waves this week as well. Candy Paint debuts in the 80s on the Hot 100, which is a song that was on the Fast and the Fast and the Furious. Though it is the Fast and the Furious franchise, it is actually the Fate of the Furious soundtrack from earlier this year. So the song has been out for about 7-8 months now. And again, it just seems like one of the most sort of odd, organic expansions of an artist catalog in recent memory, that people seem to be gravitating towards Rockstar and just finding those old Post Malone cuts.
2 new top tens. And since we're going to talk so much rap, this is my chance. Is this my chance to get in?
This is your 2 minutes of pop.
I'm going to really take it as far from rap as I can. So Havana hits the top 10. There's been one other song in the Hot 100's history that also had the title Havana. Do you know who had it?
Castro. That's my guess, Castro. I don't know.
Close. Kenny G.
Who would have guessed that?
20 years ago. Isn't that weird? Camila was born in 97. There was a song Havana on the charts in 1997.
You know, destiny sometimes comes in weird ways, right?
Ed Sheeran, interesting detail about the song. Just to give a little shout out, Ed Sheeran's brother, Matthew, co-wrote the song with him.
Did not know.
All right, so already Kenny G, going to go even further back than the 90s into the 80s. Has there ever been an artist...
Gary, your 2 minutes are running out.
Has there ever been an artist whose brother co-wrote hits with the artist and got top 10s out of them?
Wait, is it obvious?
It's obvious to me, but okay, I'm the one who just played
so
Kenny
then,
G.
No, it's not.
Bruce Hornsby, his brother, John Hornsby.
Oh, no, I would have guessed that.
Co-wrote
Gary?
Jacob's Ladder, number one hit more than 30 years ago for Huey Lewis in the News. They co-wrote Mandolin Rain. Valley Road, some other hits. So every once in a while, so a rare thing in chart history, you get an artist whose brother is a writer of a top 10 hit.
Must be kind of cool, though, you know, a little sibling collaboration there, especially for people who, you know, for a non-brother-sister kind of act. I mean, it must be kind of nice.
That's what I've got. I got my Bruce Hornsby. I got my Kenny G. I'm all good.
Gary is set, so he can sit back, and we're going to jump right into this rap roundtable. We're going to be joined by three friends here, two of whom work directly in-house with us as part of the Billboard Spin Media Group. We also have a nice third guest, external, so adding a different voice to the conversation out there. So really excited about this. I mean, we recorded it, like Gary said, not too long ago. I think it turned out to be a fun discussion. Got everything, a little bit of everything.
I think if you listen real close, you hear me at one point, too.
Gary must have been feeling a little under the weather as well.
The Paula Cole podcast we did. You didn't exactly overtake that one.
I wasn't feeling too well that day, and I think Gary might be coming down with it today. So
we have our strengths.
He'll be around. But and if you actually it's kind of a bonus treat. If you listen all the way to the end, you'll hear Gary show up again. So without further ado, here we go. We're gonna jump right into it. Our rap roundtable this week, talking about all the rap hits this year, the state of rap at radio, and a few other fun things. So here we go.
Week in a weakness, you gotta see this. Yeah. Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances, finesse a nigga with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this parmesan where my accountant lives. In fact, I'm down in this. You say with my boobay tastes like Kool-Aid for.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
All right, and right now we're joined by three esteemed individuals helping us talk about rap music today and the state of rap music in terms of radio, on the charts, and in particular women in the game. Normally we introduce our guests, but because we got three people, it's probably best if you introduce yourself just so people can get used to your voice, make sure they know who's talking. So let's start over here. If Mikey, you want to go first.
What's up, guys? Mikey Fresh. I'm the music editor at Vibe.com. I'm here just to share my expertise and give my critiques on women in hip hop, I believe.
I hope so too. Oh, that's next week's episode. You didn't know. We're talking about rock music today. No, let's get
it. I love rock music.
Nile Ivy, aka Low Key, co-founder of Henny Palooza, host of Trap Karaoke. Also on air personality for Beats One Radio, and as a lot of people may know, founder and editor of YouHeardThatNew.com.
Yeah.
What up, what up? This is Marjo Estevez, formerly of Vibe, now at Billboard Latin, and what's up?
All right, thank you guys for being here. I want to start off, kind of just throw a fact out and see how we respond to that. So, right now, Rockstar, Post Malone, number one on the Hot 100. Fifth time this year we've had a rap song at number one. Run through them real quick. We've had Bad and Bougie, Migos at the top of the charts. Earlier this year, I'm the One, DJ Khaled. We had Cardi B, obviously Bodak Yellow, Rockstar Now. And what is the fifth one?
Wait, Kendrick didn't hit it?
Kendrick had a number one album.
I didn't say Kendrick. It was Kendrick. It was Humble.
Okay. I was like, wait.
No, he said. Okay, so it was Kendrick.
I was like, I know there's one at the top of the year that I forgot about.
No, I remember Kendrick hit number one.
Yeah, Kendrick, Humble. Okay. So five songs at number one. Now, we haven't had that actually since 2006 was the last time. Five different rap songs at number one. So my first question, just throw it out there for the group. Are you surprised at all that either it took until now to have five number ones in a year? And are you surprised by who the acts are? It's not Drake. It's not Jay. It's not Eminem. It's a lot of newcomers. And, I mean, Kendrick, not the newest, but still pretty fresh.
It's half and half for me. I'm half surprised by the Post Malone. I'm half surprised by the Khaled. I'm not surprised by Cardi. I'm not surprised by Kendrick. But I think it's just the consumption of music has changed. And I think the subgenres of music or hip-hop have been divided now to where people can choose particular.
Or even
blurred. It's blurred. Sometimes it's blurred, sometimes it's divided. But I think there's just more of a selection in hip-hop. You know, and now that we have a female who's just blossoming in front of us, it's just, it gives more fans to root for something else other than the actual, the Drakes, the Kanyes, the Jays who've been there so long. Now we have a Post Malone, we have, you know, a Khaled who's not a rap artist but has, you know, those records. I think it's just, it's different. One thing after another.
That speaks to the times. I'm not actually not that surprised that, you know, the five songs are where they're at, because now the way music is consumed, as Lowkey mentioned, it has changed. And it's no longer, we're no longer counting who buys the album. We're talking about streams. Mm-hmm. People who are actually listening to the song. Mm-hmm. So if anything, it's more accurate today than it was back then.
Yeah.
I think it just shows
that how much music has changed even in 5 years. 5 years ago, we probably wouldn't think it would be like random people like Cardi and Post Malone as number one.
Right. But
just in this 5 year span, it's like, oh, it's totally believable.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't be surprised to see Extension in the top five, Trippie Redd, Lil Pump, all these guys that, you know, 5 years ago, they were not factors, but now they are the top tier rap artists, the most popular. They sell the festivals out, and now they're showing that they put numbers on the board because they're all, you know, in the top 100 of Billboard.
Exactly.
So, going off that, I want to ask, because I think you brought up a great point about the way it's consumed, and in particular that streams, the way they're counted versus buying an album. So do you think this is something in particular that the charts are just now catching up to, or do you think that it's something that the conditions are, how do I want to phrase this, Gary?
Now that we're in a streaming era, is that more conducive to hip-hop artists, to new hip-hop artists?
To that point, yeah, because it's you put everything on iTunes or Spotify in a heartbeat, and they already cultivated like a cult-like following. So all they're going to do is just go to that platform and to continuously listen to that album or continuously listen to that single or their back catalog, and the numbers rack up. You know, so it's like back in the day when you had to buy a tape or you couldn't find it anywhere. Mm-hmm. You had to either go on YouTube or it'd be a mixtape, and those didn't count for shit. You know, a Clue streaming wouldn't count for anything. So it's now it's like, oh, it's iTunes. It's distributed by whatever label they have or whatever, you know, whatever they're backed by, and it counts. Apple, you know, Spotify, Tidal, whatever, it's gonna count. So now it's
With streaming, also, you don't have to have one single anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like you're an artist. You just upload everything, and the fans will tell you which top three singles are yours. Like
you don't have to have one album.
Yeah,
you don't have to have an album. You can have just a few singles and pop.
Back in the day, you would run your tape back until it broke. Now there's no break. You can't break a streaming service. You can just listen, and next thing you know, she's number one on the charts.
Yo, that's one thing I was thinking of when I was trying to figure out, okay, what's going on with streaming and why does that change it? And I was thinking, let me know if I'm crazy. Stop me when I get too wild. Just because, you know, back in the day when, and this was, I think, a thing with country music, that before, you know, electronic tracking came along, people didn't realize how big country music was in terms of just like album sales, whether it's because the regions where they bought them didn't have great record keeping or kind of one-offs or whatever, the way a major city would have better record keeping or whatnot. So when electronic plays came to town, country became a much bigger player because people realized, like, even at Walmart and Target, people were really buying it.
Yeah.
So with streaming, we catch up, and I think the big thing is, you know, when you buy an album, you can take that album home and you might listen to it once.
Mm-hmm.
And you might listen to it 100 times.
Exactly.
But no service out there can tell you how many times you listen to it.
That. Right. Exactly.
Nobody knows. Now with streaming, of course, you get literally play by play by play.
Exactly.
And then as part of that as well, you know, when you think about, I mean, to buy an album, I know most people think, you know, it's $15, $20. It's not super expensive. But, you know, now that you got a whole service of streaming factors, that a lot of them are free, a lot of them pretty cheap, you know, for what you get. And I'm going to go ahead and throw out there that internet is like a necessity, not really a luxury for most people anymore. Mm-hmm. When you look at, you know, now poor folks can get access to that music in the same way. They don't have to save up $20 to buy one album a month. They don't have to spend, you know, $129 for every song
month,
they want.
Every album, every song.
Everything you want. And, you know, and look, you know, as a fact, poor folks tend to be black, brown, Hispanic, you know, and that's hip hop. I mean, that's who
they're
grows
the biggest
up with
consumption
it.
of the culture.
I do want to ask, just in general, because I know
maybe people out there want to know. Do you guys listen to multiple services, or do you have one that you kind of hold on to while we're talking about sort of?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely. I'm on all of them, but I feel like just because I'm a I'm the music editor, I have to be able to to access everything as soon as it drops. I feel like the regular consumer doesn't have a Tidal, an Apple, a Spotify. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm a creature of habit, so I'm Apple all the way. Just because everything is at my disposal in one place. You know, if I want to listen to an old ass DMX album, I can play that all day without any worries that it's gonna get cut off. Or if
Tidal
I want to listen, if I want to listen,
got that too.
Shouts out to Tidal, but I don't know. Like I'm stuck with
not
Apple.
Not a promoted podcast.
I mean, personally, I work for Apple, so that's where my trust lies. You know, that's where
I'm a Jay-Z fan for life.
No, I'm not going to say anything like, because I work for them. No, I do like the service. It's, like she said, if you want to listen to something old as hell, you got videos, you got personal connect pages. It's just like, you get the radio station, Beach One's like.
I like the structure of it.
Yeah, it's just, it's nice. It's easy. I mean, it's easy for me to maneuver, so I stay there.
I like Beats One Radio and all its hosts.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good service. It's only $9.99.
Some of those I'll also kind of mention on a little bit. I want to focus on. We're talking about radio a lot, and people are people are saying obviously we've had 5 number one rap hits this year alone. A lot more been in the top 10. Radio though, not pop radio in particular, not particularly the warmest fan of them. Gonna throw out a statistic right here. We got so we keep a radio songs chart here at Billboard, which measures the audience reach for. All the stations we monitor on a certain panel, and that's kind of the main one that feeds into the Hot 100. So it's the big one.
So is that FM and online radio,
or just FM?
Just FM.
Just FM.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
Okay. you look like you. All right. So just FM because they can't measure the reach, I guess, a satellite. But we've got 49 top tens on that chart this year. How many of those are rap songs?
The 49 radio?
There are 49 total songs that have been top 10. Everybody from Chainsmokers, Taylor, Kendrick, I'll say, is at least one.
And again, this is just FM.
Yeah.
I don't think very many. I don't have
we got to put a number on it.
Okay, 7.
Okay.
20, between 30 and 20.
Yeah, I say between 20 and 25. I think at least half those got to be.
Of those 49 top 10s, we got a whopping 8.
Look at that.
Marjorie got it. She said 7, right?
She said, yes.
She said she's one off.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's Chainsmokers, that's Sharon.
I wish I had the list.
We're talking about pop radio, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just overall radio.
Overall
which obviously
radio.
A lot of it, yeah.
See, so
yeah.
This should show us how different FM radio is from the internet. Because we said that because we're, internet
guys. But that's
guys.
Our world also. Like we,
well, that's what I'm saying.
We
so
subscribe
we,
to that world.
Right,
like,
right.
We don't subscribe
my thing
to
is, like, when do y'all listen to the radio?
No.
When I'm getting my haircut.
Not anymore.
Real question.
Yeah.
Right? When
yeah,
you're getting your haircut. When
you're
rolling.
When
your aux ain't working.
Right. Like, when
right?
I don't have, like, because my go-to is my phone. Like, my playlist or, like, streaming, Beats One, whatever. Like, that's why I don't.
Shit that's curated for you and that's already readily available, right? You don't got to wait for commercials. You don't got to stick through shit that you might not like. My question is, because... since we're talking about Cardi, Bodak Yellow, I can't even tell you when was the last time I heard Bodak Yellow on the radio. I can't tell you.
No.
Me personally.
Yeah, but what, you guys don't listen to the radio that much.
Right.
I was in a barbershop. I was in a barbershop Friday, and I heard it on a pop station.
Okay, but let's say in the very beginning. Let's say while it wasn't being played on the radio, in the beginning. It wasn't. Uh-huh. But she was still racking up streams.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all that mattered.
That's my point.
So, no,
exactly.
Yeah.
So the question is, how relevant, how obsolete is radio today?
It's definitely dwindling. I wouldn't say it's all the way not there, but it's it's obvious that it's dwindling. There's no way you can say that.
In the regards of tracking a record and if it gains popularity, maybe that's the obsolete is rising. But I think in regards to like interviews and like. People visiting the station, that's still...
No, and cultural relevance?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think it's
culturally,
still, that's still there. Like,
it's
if radio's
vital.
Not
it's still there,
about
but I'll
record,
say it's dwindling. Even that.
It's
like,
vital culturally,
the commentary
absolutely.
Still needed, though.
But I think,
no, yeah, exactly. But it's getting less than it was.
Commentary? What are we doing right now? We're not on the radio. We're doing podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everyone... okay.
No.
But to your point, not everyone has access to a podcast or to do a podcast. So you got to think... What time is it right now? It's 5:00, so... You got people who don't really understand the streaming world or don't have an Apple Music you know, account or title or whatever, they're turning on, you know, Hot 97, they're turning on Power 105, they're turning on, you know, 107.5 or whatever station it is in their local city, and they're listening to whatever that DJ or that personality is saying or is dictating. So in the regards of cultural relevancy, it's still there. Yes, to your point, it is dwindling, but it's still a factor in what the common person uses. Right, as
maybe
what's
dwindling
hot.
Is a little harsh, but I would say it's shrinking.
It's a true point.
Dwindling's not a bad word, but I guess it has such a high spot to fall from. I mean, right, before right, it's right. irrelevant. Yeah. That
I think different aspects are bigger, because now when you think of Power 105, you think of the Breakfast Club. You don't really think about the station anymore. You're just like,
but you got to still think about it. Like, all right, like when you know, people who work at the hospital or people who just have, you know, regular admin jobs, they play these radio stations. Like, they don't cook up their phone because they need their phone, or they're not on their computer.
Plus, if you're in a
computer.
Work atmosphere, you probably have to have something that's censored. So yeah, it's some, so they're so, not yeah, gonna radio. I feel like it's not gonna. It's not like it's gonna disappear.
In certain aspects of life, right. It's gonna be there.
Yeah. No one's saying that it's gonna disappear, and nor do I want it to disappear. I'm nostalgic with the state of mind. Shouts out to Nas, right?
So I'm saying it's gonna disappear. I think eventually, probably in the next
right.
So you treat it like 15? The CD.
Yeah, it's gone.
10 years, you think?
FM radio is probably not. Yeah,
no, it's gonna be. I can't say it like that. All right, so what does the common person have to go to in the morning?
But my,
they're gonna have access to this. Everybody's gonna have access to a smartphone.
Yeah, because if we're talking about access, let's talk about the streams happening now.
Think about
like
how fast we're elevating.
You still
by the
need
ear.
An account. There are a lot of people who just don't understand how to work a cell phone.
In 20 years, we will all know. In 20 years ago,
we were supposed to have flying cars.
No, nor
we got flying cars.
There's still $3-$4.
Cars in Japan right now being
cars that drive by themselves. The cars here drive by themselves.
I wrote in 20 years.
That's cool.
FM radio is going to be done.
In 2012, we were supposed to have flying cars in the most advanced part of this country, right here. And none of that has happened.
So we're back a few years. That's cool.
Bro, we have them.
My point is that the same people.
Not in this tax bracket yet.
You're talking about.
We're getting way out of here.
I personally, maybe because I work in radio, because this is what my degree is
and
in.
And it's like.
I just don't think it's going to disappear. And not in 10 years. 20, maybe. 10, no.
Yes, give it 20. 20. Yeah, you're right.
20, hopefully, 20 I'll be
but
only
to
like
the,
a
I mean,
piece
to the point, you know,
years.
I mean, okay, because you say about the CD, you say about, I guess, people think people think digital downloads could be, you know, if Apple wanted to, they could get rid of that in a day.
I just find it very, very hard to believe, because there are still people who are going to get in their cars and turn on FM radio, no matter if it's Hot 97, you know, Power 105, Z100. Like, there's still a need for those voices. There's still a need for a disc jockey.
I don't disagree.
And I don't think those people are too pivotal in our culture, despite how many influencers and podcasts and video YouTube channels and all this other stuff that we, you know, intake now. The common person really doesn't care about that. I think the common person just wants their music, wants their news, wants their jokes, and keeps it moving.
All right, and let me. I know we kind of got away from the. But that's no, that's all good. That's all. I mean, I like that. It's interesting. But I do want to ask. Okay, so why do you think radio is having a hard time playing a lot of these songs? You said 8 of 49 top tens have been rap songs. Some of them obviously a little more poppy than others, but in general, 8 out of 49, and we're talking barely maybe 15%. Why do you think, you know, a Z100, whatever station you listen to, is saying, you know, maybe, and it used to be one thing about maybe we didn't have, you know, it's not going to mesh with the listeners, it's not going to work right. Now we have streaming numbers that prove, you know, that across the board, this is what's popular, this is what's hot. And radio's still late to the game on that. Why is that?
I'm not an expert at that, right? That's not my area of expertise, but I'm just going to chalk it up to the fact that, you know, like, hip hop has never been something that's cookie cutter or pop culture, or I mean it is today because it's been monopolized, but you know, there might be a song that has a million and one curse words and it's not gonna be played because of that, I imagine, right? I think that there are themes in hip hop that might not be, you know, appealing to a wider mainstream audience. Those are my thoughts.
Okay, so I don't want to keep circling back to the FM thing, whatever, or like the we need radio. But the common person, when you wake up in the morning, you're taking your kids to school, right? And the parents are already trying not to give that much access to their kids in regards to entertainment, right? So when you turn on pop radio and you hear Post Malone and 21 Savage, 9 times out of 10, 21 Savage is saying, murder dog, kill you, whatever, whatever, right? Right. So they don't want to hear that shit.
Explicit,
mm-hmm.
content.
Explicit content. They want to hear Despacito, Chainsmokers, Mi Gente. Like, they want to hear that stuff where the kids can dance while they take them to mm-hmm. school, mm-hmm. you know, where it's like, oh, your song's on, whatever. They don't want to hear, you know, a Hove or whatever, because they know that's not what they're supposed to hear. And then you take it to school, and then they take it to their friends, and then they take it to somewhere outside the environment that they're in. That's why I think you don't hear it on a Z100.
It's not mass appeal, right?
You mean you can hear it on the internet, right. and it's exactly. already regulated when you go exactly. when you go home. But if I'm gonna play something for my kid, like, at least I know that's not gonna come on the station.
Yeah, I think everything they both said are definitely factors. Obviously, radio cannot play overly explicit content. Mm. But also, you know, I don't think all the listeners might not know, but radio doesn't work where it's just like a DJ has a hot song and he wants to play it. There's program directors, mm-hmm. and these guys are oftentimes not young, hip DJs, but mm-hmm. older corporate guys.
And also have to sell ads.
Have to sell ads against. Mm-hmm. And adding to that, you know, the format of rap songs and of what's acceptable rap song has changed. Before, it was like, if your song isn't mastered by the best, you know, engineer out there, if it's not produced by Primo, it's not going to get on any play. But now it's like these kids are taking songs that are beats from other people. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they're not mastered at all. And mm-hmm. that's kind of like a kitsch, like this whole lo-fi movement. Mm-hmm. You know, people like Lil Pump, Wi-Fi's Funeral, Smoke Perp, mm-hmm. Extension. The aesthetic now is to just put songs out how they come. And they mm-hmm. might not, you know, be radio format. So I think they all these things have an effect there, from the content yeah. to what's acceptable on radio. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Radio,
the quality has a lot to do with
friendly,
it.
Yeah.
You can't just put a freestyle on the radio. Oh, you can, but
you just can't
traditional,
put a rap record,
yeah, traditional
can't
FM
it, yeah.
formats.
It's not there anymore.
It doesn't rock. Yeah, maybe on satellite radio, like, of course.
Yeah, but not on, you know,
yeah,
Z100.
Exactly. It just yeah. it doesn't go. There's strict guidelines and formats in how you play music.
Yeah. Yo, a perfect point. I want to jump right off of that.
All
right. But I do want to close out with one other thing. I know we said that 8 of 49 top 10s on the radio songs were rap charts. Throw out one more trivia stat before we flip topics real quick. 53 top 10s we've had on the streaming songs chart this year. So a little bit more. How many of those 53 songs have been rap songs this year?
This one has got to be...
Which charts was that again?
We're talking streaming songs.
Oh. Streaming songs.
53 top 10s on streaming songs this year. How many have been rap songs?
I'm going to say 42.
I'll say 25.
Damn. All right, I'm going to go with 30 because they both took this.
No, no, you got to line up.
No, because
I shouldn't have let Marjorie go first.
I think about 30.
I shouldn't have let her go first.
No, I think about 30. I think about 30.
30 out of 53, 39.
I was close.
So we're talking about what I could say, at least.
So look at the dichotomy.
60%.
All right. Right. Look at the dichotomy. Radio isn't playing, but we're consuming the shit out of it via the digital grin.
She's right. That's just because it's safer. Well, not safer. It's just more access.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, your parent is not going to be able to tell you what you're going to be able to stream on your phone. So now you're just streaming Post right. Malone, or you're streaming Uzi Vert, or you're streaming whoever is hot at the time, and it's going to be in that top 10. Like, all those streams are going to put that record or those people in the top 10.
And the internet gives you the liberty to consume what you want to consume.
When you want to consume.
When
how you
exactly.
want to consume. So it's just radio. Yep. They tell
that's like
you
a tagline for the internet right there. I like
yep.
it.
Yo, but seriously, yeah, with old score, you can play music
anywhere
through any
want,
device. Yeah,
you
like,
want.
It's so real.
Doesn't
what
matter.
You're saying is real.
All right, one point that you made, Mikey, I want to go back to. We talk about the lo-fi movement. I never heard it called quite like that,
lo-fi
but I like
rat.
It. So
South
that's
Florida,
one thing
baby.
That we're obviously seeing a lot of kids coming out of Broward County
yes, sir.
Who have ignited that. I mean, it's one of those things, like you said, you know, 3-4 years ago when you didn't have major level backing, you know, only a few streaming services out there, the kids weren't factors. Now,
right.
I mean, this is – it feels like every month we're seeing – somebody blow up. I mean,
exactly.
right now,
look at that guy, Trippie Redd.
Yeah,
yeah.
Out of nowhere, yeah. Now he's probably. I'm guaranteed he lives on Billboard for at least the rest of the year. Yeah.
At least, I mean, yeah. Lil Pump we saw. I mean, even yep. earlier this year, Kodak Black. I mean, even kind of going back to Uzi, Yachty, a bunch of kids coming off of SoundCloud in particular. Mm. So this sound that they're bringing, you know, which way more down tempo. Even some of the XXX stuff is you know melodic and really
and
somber and just
and drug
crazy.
Induced, yeah,
and Lil Xan as well coming through, same thing. So why is this the sound that's popping right now? What about it is appealing to people?
I think it reflects what's happening in youth culture right now.
Yep.
You know, the music is a reflection of the culture. So if kids in today's society are popping Percocets and Xannies by the handful, the music is probably going to reflect that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if everything we're consuming, whether it be television or movies, does have like a lower value in terms of subject matter, you know, like we got to admit that our society has been dumbed down a lot. It continues to be dumber and dumber. So I don't know. I don't want to call the youth dumb, but
I mean, it's not.
A I don't think the youth is dumb. I think that there's a sort of there's a sort of access and a sort of impressionism, cultural impressionism that is here now today that wasn't back then. Drugs play. I think okay for trap. That's the sound now. Trap. What is a trap? We know what traps are. Traps are where, you know, the drug deal goes down, where there's, you know, that exchange happening, that but that's the sound now. And it might not be something that we like, or that, you know, me and Mikey were talking about how we don't like, you know, the fact that we're calling it trap. But boom bap was an actual sound. That was something that was termed, you know, eons ago, and now trap is the sound. And I'm wondering if hip hop is going to continue to evolve the way it is, there's going to be a new sound. It might not be down tempo. You know, it might be something else that doesn't even sound like hip hop.
I mean, like, I listened, like, when I was in high school and college, you know, we listened
you,
to...
Oh, you're gonna date yourself here.
It's fine. It's totally fine.
But if Run DMC was out...
No, no.
I'm just kidding.
But it's like... it's like you listen to, like, when 50 and you know, G-Unit and The Lox and Dipset and all these guys were out, that was gangster rap. Like, in our era. Like, not, you know, when Cuban were doing... Like, you know, in our era, that was gangster rap. So, yep. Like... You know, we respected
East Coast.
Yeah, that was East Coast thug gangster music. Yeah, that's what it was. So now, you know, we didn't respect the addict back then. Mm-hmm. You know, we respected the drug dealer. You know what I mean? We didn't respect the person who got shot. We respected the shooter. So now everything is reversed. You know what I mean? We respect who got shot. Like, damn, you got shot 15 times. Or damn, you drunk all that lean and...
Right.
So, like, my point I'm trying to make is, like, I think the accessibility that these kids have nowadays is because of the internet, because you can link with somebody in Palm Beach, Florida, and you live in fucking Seattle, Washington, like, yo, I drink lean too, or I pop perks too, and it's just, like, the culture's now mash. And it's fucked up, but, like, this is the drug culture that we live in, you know, and even though I'm a little bit older, I don't do none of that stuff, I can understand why this music makes...
Definitely.
So much noise.
Yeah, I'm not judging. I understand it. And also,
I get it, yeah. I don't agree with it.
In the times that we're in really dark times where when it's finally come the time to listen to music and entertain yourself, you don't want something you got to think about too much, because all day we're involved in the news.
I don't want to use that as a catalyst, because at the same time, like, yeah, times may be dark, but times have been dark before.
Yeah, but also I want to say also with... You know, every Lil Xan and Uzi and Trippie Redd, there's also, you know, people like Kendrick Lamar and Big Crit.
Again, social media has given us access to see things as they are, as they're happening, when they're happening. Mm. And it's just like, there's an image being sold. And it's just like, and if it looks cool to do drugs, if it looks cool to pop a Molly, if it looks cool to mix lean, that's what the kids are going to do. Because you're trying to get it popping. Like, that's what you're trying to do. So, sure. because you're seeing that 24/7 in your face, that's what you're being fed. That's what you're going to consume to some extent, I think, especially with our youth.
Okay, so people with Cardi coming through, obviously, first thing was comparisons to Nicki. Fair comparison to make because of the personality, or cheap comparison because, oh, it's woman versus, like, just popular rap woman versus popular rap woman.
I think it's a cop-out.
Marge was looking like, that's not even the... You know Nicki has that.
My thing is, like, I think it's a lazy comparison. I think it's a cop-out. I think, and we only do this with women.
No, we don't. The hottest male rapper and the new male rapper are always compared. This is just like Jay-Z and Nas or anything.
Mike,
this has nothing to do with them being females. This is a hot rapper topic. Because if
Shmurda
was compared to whoever was hot at that time. So it's not, has nothing to do.
Who was Bobby Shmurda compared to?
Anybody who's big, they would be like, yo, is Bobby hotter than 2 Chainz? Or who was hot at that moment when Bobby came out? Who was the hottest rapper?
It was 14.
Yeah.
Summer 14?
But they weren't comparing. They weren't comparing Bobby Shmurda.
You know why? There's... Okay, so Nicki has been proclaiming that she has been the best for the last, 6, 7 years?
Yeah.
Because there has been no competition aside from the shit that BT makes up. Eve, Trina, whoever, Missy, whatever. Like, not no disrespect to them, but they haven't put out any material, so they can't really be leveraged against.
Yeah, no Nicki. Competition, right. Nicki.
So now that Cardi comes and Cardi has a number one record and Cardi's the talk of the town, you have to do that.
Exactly. You have to do
that. Because of what Nicki has been saying for the last several years, that every female rapper that's out, she's my son, I'm the queen of rap, even though she hasn't proved it in the last couple of years, you have to do that.
Anybody who goes on the street, yo. To. Same thing. Okay, remember when 2 Chainz was killing it? They were like, yo, is 2 Chainz hotter than Wayne now? Yeah. They're like, yeah, of course. Because
why wouldn't you?
He's on a streak.
But when you, okay. No,
oh, I'm sorry.
We're talking about the word compare. When you say compare, you mean like because she sounds like her, because she looks like her,
because
what?
No, that's because
what
you mean they're the hottest right now.
No, but, okay, but my thing is just like, yeah, you can have a conversation with both of them and discuss it and I guess compare and contrast. Yes, yeah. I know. But they can coexist.
Yeah, no, exactly. No one's saying they
can't. Nas and Jay can coexist too, but they were always pit against each other.
No one's saying they can't, but if you have an artist like Nicki who's always poking her chest out, of course the comparison is going to come in. Like, yo, so Cardi's here, so now what? Can Nicki last this? Is Nicki as good as she says she is?
Right,
can
right.
Nicki match that quota? Right, even though Nicki doesn't have to prove herself.
Okay.
She doesn't. But it's like, all right, Nick, you finally have some valid competition.
Word.
What are you going to do?
Word.
We don't want to see Nicki fail at all.
If
we could have two female rappers with a number one and a number two record, I would love to see that.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome for the culture of hip-hop. But at some point, Nicki has to back up what she's been saying for the last 5 years, and she has not. So that's why we're saying Cardi is hotter than Nicki at this moment. I'm not saying Nicki hasn't put in her work. I'm not saying that at all. You're as good as your last hit or your last record or last whatever, and Nicki has
not. You
sound
like a millennial.
Am I wrong? How do we judge Drake?
We should judge him on his body of work.
You're as good as your last record. How was More Life?
Did you?
It was dope.
Was it?
It was dope, yes. It was the classic, but it was dope.
All right, so when Magna Carta came out, how do we judge Jay? We were like, Magna Carta came out, we were like,
It's true.
You on your last body of work.
Right.
You look at LeBron. How was his last game? He only did 12. He only had 12 points. He was 2 for 15.
Well, what I'm saying is we shouldn't. That's a very, I'm saying we should try to change.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
Okay, we shouldn't categorize.
We can change that, guys. We can change that.
And we shouldn't categorize male and female rappers, but we do.
That's it. That's the lay of the land.
No. Well, yeah. Unfortunately.
But that's right now, that's the lay of the land.
Okay, let me ask about this. Let me jump in because we got one last topic to hit on, and I'm glad you brought up Jay-Z because I do want to ask about them. So this whole climate we saw, SoundCloud rappers coming through, new faces, all this. Where did Legacy X fit in at this point?
Mm.
Jay had an album this year, obviously, and granted it was not a radio-friendly Blueprint 2 kind of record, whatever, but it seemed to kind of come and go. You know, it was here maybe a month, for a couple weeks people talking about it, breaking it down.
Yes.
But not, I mean, here we are today. When's the last time anybody talked about the record?
Right.
Maybe he went on tour this
week.
Depends
on who you talk to.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right?
It depends on who you talk to.
But I agree. It's a very mature Jay-Z album. It's probably his most mature to date, actually.
And but also, even with Eminem coming out in a few weeks, people are going to kind of reignite that. You know, does he still fit in this landscape? Does he still... Can he still do the numbers that he used to do?
Nope.
Is he still going to have the sting that he always kind of had?
Like I just said, you judge a man on his last body of work. How was his last body of work?
Go off that judgment. His last body of work or his last release was that Trump freestyle that everybody.
No,
all
body,
of a sudden,
body. We're talking about albums.
We're talking about body, talking about and albums. Even that was lukewarm as fuck. But
you can't even name the last Eminem album.
Do you see the point? Do you see my point? That's what I'm saying.
So automatically, Eminem, we should just be like, oh, he's whack.
I'm not saying he's going to be whack. I'm just saying.
Answer Trevor's question.
Well, so you say, I mean, nobody's done. I mean, they can always jump back in.
Yeah, right, of course. Come back with the right
and Hov was a good indicator because, like you were saying, we were all like, damn, Hov's cold. Right, these guest verses or whatever.
Yep,
and
right.
He came back with 4 for 4. But
I'm not saying Eminem doesn't have it in him. All I'm saying is the skepticism is a little bit more higher because we look at his last body of work and it's just like...
I'm saying Eminem doesn't have it in him.
You're saying it doesn't.
I'm saying he doesn't have it in
his last body of work.
You never know. You never know.
And
everything
this is
before
coming...
the BT freestyle from M, we were all like, okay, Rap God was cool.
Even the BT freestyle was just like, you're screaming.
Yeah.
That was a big argument.
My thing is just like Eminem has made a career of talking shit about women, about misogyny, about the worst kind of addictions, the worst kind of like meant like the worst
the
kind
domestic
of
domestic dispute.
The, yeah,
so
like,
is every other mainstream rapper.
Stop, that's not true. That is not true. That is not true. He was out there, trust. And this is coming from a fan of Eminem. I'm lyrically, I think Eminem is a perfectionist, lyricist wise. I don't think that he has it in him today. The reason why Jay's album prior to 444 I thought was lukewarm was because it didn't show a grown up Jay. Jay came back talking about some real shit.
Right. So what if M came back?
All you gotta do is cheat on Beyonce.
What if M comes back? What if M comes back?
Time. You better stop.
What if M comes back with his own 444?
What?
Nah. I don't
know.
I
don't
want to
predict the future in saying that M doesn't have it in him.
I think
because we don't know what he's been through. He may be in a relationship. He may have an estranged child. We don't know what he's been through. But at the same time, I don't see it.
Raising his daughter.
I don't see it in his lineage to say that yo he could switch it up
because he might not be the same guy.
Yeah.
I think that he doesn't have it musically in him.
Yes, that's the point you guys have been making. I've been telling you. That's all we know. I think he has it in him.
If that's all we know,
that's not all we know from Eminem.
That's all we care about.
Okay. Big difference. Thank you. Let's end it there. Okay. That's all we know. That's all we care about. Okay.
All right.
Whatever.
We got five people at the table, four of whom been talking. I want to give the last word to Gary.
Gary. What do you want to say, Gary? Give us some wisdom.
Gary. Yeah,
been in charge for a long time.
Put a button on.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I come at it all from a pop background. I'm a pop guy, so I go for melody. It's just where I come from. So I tend to like rap more that's more musical, more melodic and has hooks. 1-800 by Logic and Tunnel Vision, but they have hooks and there's sort of this new singing kind of rap. And I think that's partially why some of the stuff is connecting and doing so well.
Do you like the A Boogie and Kodak Black Drowning? Well, that's melodic as hell with the pianos and
yeah, some of that stuff. Yeah. It always seemed to me, like, you know, the formula for so long was you'd rap in the verses, you'd maybe even recycle an old pop hook, you'd sample, and it just sort of became a formula. Yeah. I kind of like how there's a lot of these original melodies coming, and rappers are singing it. It feels like it's all kind of changing, and I think, you know, we're talking about some of this new sound. I think that's a big part of it too, and that's why, you know, people like me, the pop audience, can like some of this stuff.
Right, that makes sense.
All right.
I like that.
I see you, Gary.
Everything in one little pocket.
or put a nice little bow on it for
him. Because, like, you know, he's right. If you think about it, Puff was making all these hits, all the hooks, they're all 80s hooks. All the melodies are all like Rod Stewart songs.
It got some of the old people.
Yep. Yeah. Now they're like, fuck it.
And that's something I would love to have a podcast to talk about that. How hip-hop has made its name and its origins. Hip-hop has always been something remixed. Mm-hmm. It's always been something remixed.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not original hip hop. I'm not to say it's not original, but like,
no, it's original because of that. It's original
you snatch,
because it's
and you snatch
yeah.
and you snatch and you refurbish.
You
snatch,
take
you snatch,
it's
you
resource
recycled.
But I think at this point there's nothing to take anymore. Diddy, has taken it all.
I'm
just kidding.
There's plenty of stuff to take, but I just think that the kids are so lazy nowadays.
Right. I think they're not as lazy. I think now they're like what Gary was said. They're singing their own hooks and coming up with their own melodies and harmonies.
To that point, you're right. Yeah.
So why hasn't that happened for so long? Why is it suddenly now we're seeing that more?
I mean, I don't want to say that that's not a new phenomenon. I don't think original. What I'm trying to say is the concept.
Now, you know, Drake does his own hook.
But I think a Cudi, a Kanye, a Drake, these guys have made it a norm where, you know, I don't have to pay whomever to sing my hook, or I don't have to pay the pop star to sing my hook, where I can harmonize myself, J. Cole or whomever.
Do you think it's more business or artistic first?
Both.
I think it's both, especially when it comes, especially with J. Cole.
Yeah. Like
J. Cole was just like, I'm producing my own shit,
writing my own shit, rapping my own shit. Yeah, I think it's a little more business than artistic, because these guys who are uploading their own songs on iTunes and whatever, they don't have that budget to pay a Rihanna 40, 50, 60 grand or pay Ariana Grande, whoever, that money. Whereas it's like, all right, well, if I can put auto tune or if I dilute my voice, I'm going to sing this shit and I'm a good writer already. Or I just have somebody write it, pay you a little fee, and that's it. Can we do this every week?
Can we? I thoroughly enjoy this.
Yo,
this is such an hour that you have no idea.
Yeah, I like this. Keep my head nice and fresh.
I was like, well, we never done this before. I hope it goes well. Yo, I thought this was awesome. For real. You
know, deadass. I really love this.
I mean, I was like, oh, I hope we don't have like a lot of dead air where it's just going to be like,
ask
the question.
This is great. Thank you for inviting me, for sure.
Yo, thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
One last note before we go.
Actually, two quick things. One, anybody that's listening out there wants to get in touch with any of you guys, what's the best social media handle? Got a Twitter handle, Facebook?
Yeah, underscore MS Estevez, Miss Estevez. There is not another Marjua on the internet. So it's MARJUA. Marjua, you will find me. Google me, I'm there. There's not another Marjua.
MARJUA. Get that. Forget it.
Lowkey, LOWKEYUHTN. I'm pretty loud on Twitter, so it's pretty fine. Easy to find.
Yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter. Just Mikey Fresh One. At the at sign Mikey Fresh One on Twitter.
Just Google Mikey Fresh. Google Mikey Fresh.
Hit me up.
All right. Okay, so we got two in-house. We got one outside. I'm going to give you the last call. We always...
Don't jump in, because I know you're going to argue.
Yeah.
Turn
the mic off. We always close with some song. And this week, Gary was thinking we should just close with, your favorite rap song?
Lost Boys.
Okay.
All right. Yo, thank you guys again so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You put these people down because they that's only right. For them to get cheese, Eminem is mad tight. Set up organization, organized on the block. Nobody's slinging on the block. Hey, yo, we got this lock on lock. And it's the lifestyles of the rich and shameless. Some die with the name.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.